how many are these actual NBA prospects making during this in a Jazz 100?
I think 5 out of 6 made more than 50 today.
Okay. These are good shooters, though.
I think we had one really good shooter who I hadn't seen play. Shot the ball pretty well. The other guy shot it. We're about 50, 59s, a couple 60s. So, yeah.
What's a number that really gets you excited when you see that?
Something that really gets me excited is about 70. But a lot of the NBA guys are shooting 70s who are good shooters or 80s. But if you ever see a 70 from a college kid, I mean, I'm sure Dennis would say that's pretty exciting.
That's one of the things, I mean, just kind of backtracking, that's one of the things that really opened your eyes with Trey Lyles.
I mean, there's a lot of things about Trey. I mean, you know, I had the opportunity to see Trey play before he went to Kentucky, so he wasn't playing out of position. So I saw some of the things that he can do now that he wasn't doing at Kentucky. His shooting percentage at Kentucky, especially the three, was... He didn't shoot it well early, and Cal told him quit shooting it. So that's why he shot so poorly.
Then did he show that he could shoot, I guess, in your workout with him?
We saw some things we liked, we thought could help him with. And I thought this interview was for the workout.
No. I was going to be
curious. Well, we can't talk about the one guy that we're like...
You don't have to hide anything about Trey Lyles now, right?
How did Jared play, and how did he shoot it?
Who?
Jared, Utah.
Jared shows he knows how to play. He was good in some aspects of the workout, and he needs to work on some other things naturally. His shooting of the Jazz 100 was one of the guys I talked about, his upper 50s.
Is he a guy that, you know, his versatility, just kind of knowing how to play the game from a lot of spots, does that kind of, you know, pique interest in him a little bit?
Yes. I think in terms of what we're kind of looking at, I think he needs to become a better ball handler, able to probably make plays off the dribble a little bit more.
Lottery order being set now mean anything to you, or you keep doing your do what you do and evaluating how you evaluate?
Well, being at 12 and with the odds of us moving up, I mean, I felt we were going to be at 12, so I've been working on 12. So it hasn't changed much for us. It's just trying to arrange workouts for the guys we think at 12 and trying to talk to the agents who think their guys are going to go 5 and 6 and 7 and trying to get those players in who we think could be there at 12. So it's about the same thing.
Did you guys try to get extra interviews in Chicago because you said it was going to be a hard time getting some of those guys even in the lottery range?
We got quite a few interviews on Saturday, but we didn't get the so-called top. Trying to think if we got anybody in the top. I don't think we got anybody in the top 5.
But you got in your range?
We got a couple that may have been in our range, but it's probably more in the range of 42.
Is somebody like a Jaylen Brown, who is in the draft, mm-hmm. hasn't hired an agent.
And won't.
Is he unique in terms of trying to set up a workout? Is that unique with him?
In terms of a lottery pick, yes. Extremely unique, because they usually have agents.
Right.
We're kind of used to it this year, only because you got underclassmen who, if they want to go back to school, can't hire an agent, so you got to deal with schools. So in Jaylen, I'm sure I'm going to have to call his head coach at Cal.
The deadline's next week, right? Or this
week? Deadline's 25th.
25th, yeah.
Does not having interviewed a player or not having them here when draft night comes around and they're clearly a better player, do you still maybe lean towards someone you've talked to or worked out, or does that play in as much as I'm making
it? You know what? We try to do as much background intel information on players, whether or not we get them in for interviews or for workouts. And we have enough clips, game clips of them, that we know what kind of player they are and what kind of player they can become. So it doesn't preclude us from drafting them if we're comfortable with it.
How does the value of the 12th pick this year compare to the 12th pick last year?
I haven't really looked at that yet, so I'm not sure.
No, because people are saying this is probably a more of a top-heavy, less...
Hey, you know what? It is a top-heavy, but I think there's still some pretty good players that we can find at 12. And again, I think traditionally Most drafts, whether they're considered deep or not, you can always find players in the 12 range. I think the problem becomes trying to find a player that everybody thinks is going to go more so 7 to 10, because I think that's where you might have guys who don't pan out. And there's always guys who are going to be in the late teens or in the 20s that are going to become very, very good NBA players. Just got to figure out who it is.
In this draft, I mean, is the talent at 12 comparable?
I haven't really looked at it yet, so okay. I don't know for sure.
Well, I was going to say, is it comparable to the talent that you might get at 3 or 4, or is there a clear gap there?
There's a clear gap in this draft at after 2.
Right. Well, I know after 2.
But from 3 to...
Right, that's...
There's 3 to probably 6, and then another gap probably there.
Okay.
You had 2 of your starters last year that were 20-plus picks.
Correct.
Is there guys like that in this coming draft?
That's what we're trying to figure out. We think there could, again, history will show you that there's somebody down there that becomes very good. We just got to figure out who it might be and if we want to pursue it.